Thank y'all. As we got ready to start that, and I looked down, I said, "Oh, we're going to be talking tonight about questions and hope and aging, and so we haven't gotten to those streets yet, so we'll sing verse 3, which says, before we get to those streets, before we get to the heavenly fields and walk the streets," and there is a typo on the front page, right smack in the middle of it. Instead of "get this anti-wrinkle," it should be "get this anti-wrinkle cream" instead of "hit this anti-wrinkle cream." My fingers got a little bit, and I noticed it a while ago. But we've been talking about questions and hope and different ways to deal with our world and questions that we have and senses of hope. And we talked the last couple of times about bearing burdens and about sufferings. Sometimes we might feel like that as we get older, that we're bearing burdens and suffering, especially in cold weather. This morning, I walked out and Bobby was sitting in the sanctuary when I walked out to talk to Carolyn Hamlin, and Bobby was sitting in the sanctuary and he looked uncomfortable, and I walked over and I said, "Hey, Bobby." He said, "Hey, preacher." I said, "Are you okay?" He said, hurt. And pointed to his shoulder. I said, "Arthritis got you, right?" He said, yes. So sometimes we do bear those kinds of things. But how do we deal with, we are actually in a time right now, and have been for the last close to 10 years, where there are more people now alive in the United States over the age of 65 than ever in history combined before. And we're actually in a period now with the decline in birth rates and other things to where the population is getting older and older across the board. Okay, so people like Joey have to learn to deal with it. No. But the population is getting older. We are living longer. There are more centenarians now than ever in the history of the world. There are more octogenarians than ever in the history of the world. not just teenagers, as in there are a lot of physically teenagers, but there are a lot of old teenagers too. That's very true. And of course, we have Ms. Loftus, who's one of our members, who was 104 on Christmas Day. And so we are getting older, and the projection for people who are currently in high school and college is, if medical science were to continue to advance at the rate that it currently is, the life expectancy could be somewhere between 128 and 135 years old. And when I've told students that, I said, and the bad news is you won't be able to retire until you're 105. Yeah. But how do we deal with our aging as we get older? There are all kinds of different ways, and there are all kinds of myths that are out there that sometimes raise questions for us, sometimes seek to dash our hopes. And yet I think there are opportunities for us to find hope as we age. Bill Tuck was quoting a story of his Booth Tarkington, who was a writer. It said when Booth Tarkington was 75 years old, he was asked whether old people felt old in spirit. The guy that asked him was much younger than he. He looked at him and said, "I don't know. Why don't you ask somebody who's old?" Chinese proverb, "The old are the precious gem in the center of the household." And we do know that in many Far Eastern traditions, culturally as well as religiously, age is venerated. I've mentioned it before, but although the fellow's name was Li Po Yang, he was known as Lao Tzu, founded Taoism, the Chinese philosophy slash religion, Taoism. Lao Tzu means old boy or the old man. But whereas when I was growing up, I don't know about y'all, but when I was growing up, if you heard somebody refer to a father or a spouse's old man, or a mother or a spouse's the old lady, it wasn't necessarily a term of endearment, was it? And yet in Chinese culture, to call somebody the old boy or the old man is considered a sign of great respect because wisdom is venerated. You know, you say life begins at 30. For the Chinese, life begins at 60 or whatever. The older you get, the more veneration. Why? Because you've lived and hopefully gained some wisdom along the way. In fact, actually, when you get to the point in some world religions, when you get to the point of the birth of your first grandson, if you wish, you can stop working and everybody else has to take care of you, and you get to spend the rest of your life meditating and all that kind of stuff. But so there are traditions that venerate age, and yet we find oftentimes within our own culture and many of the cultures these days across the world, age is not something that people look forward to, is it? Of course, yeah. Somebody said when we were gone last weekend, I tossed out my little phrase that I came up with a number of years ago when we were eating lunch. On Sunday, the waitress, "Oh, you're here for a birthday." And she said, "Oh, happy birthday." I said, "Thank you." She said, "How old?" And I said, "62. And she said, "Oh, 62. I said, "Yep, but I'd much rather be able to look at that grass than watch the roots." And she thought for a minute. She was from Jamaica originally. She thought for a minute and then, "Oh." So, but, you know, we are all aging every moment of every day. I mean, from the time we're born, we begin to age. So, the question is, who are the old? Who are old people? Hazel and Sarah. Yeah, I mean, and what does it mean? You know, when we think about who are old people, what do we mean by that? How do we judge? Is it always just chronologically? I guess. Yeah. You have to have a caveat there. Sometimes Social Security does give it to young people, but something bad had to have happened. So, but yes. Right. Right. Well, and I was reading an article recently that about aging and all, and said that pretty soon, or right about now, 50 is the new 30. 50 is the new 30 for folks. Right. Right.
And it said that back in FDR's time, President Franklin Roosevelt,
right,
the early 30s, the average lifespan of a man was 53, yeah, something like that. So the science, plus we're getting educated. Used to doctors of knowledge, camel and cigarette smoke.
Yeah. Unfiltered. Well, if you had a bee sting, that all possible, you found either a chaw of tobacco or you found a cigarette, broke it open, chewed it, and put it on the bee sting, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, we're doing smart. Yeah. We're finally learning a few things.
We are learning those things. But in the process of learning it, you mentioned doctors, in the process of learning it, we've lost the old GP. Everybody's a specialist. And I mean, some of them are micro specialists. Hey, they have. They take the bone and they fill it with a titanium rod, and then they put in a steel ball and a plastic socket, and you can do that. Yeah, and hips and knees and all those kinds of things. But yeah, you know, but yes. Yes, they are. Of course, you know, they hadn't really gotten around to adequately transferring the brains yet. You end up with Marty Feldman giving an abnormal brain to somebody. But do we ever pause? Okay, do we as individuals, and you don't have to answer this, but do you ever pause and give thanks to God that you are growing older? Okay. All right. And as I said, notice I said growing older, not just getting older. Because it, you know, growing up, sometimes we're growing out. But do you ever do that? And I mean growing older, not just getting older. And I think that's the key to finding hope as we age, is growing older, not just getting older and marking time. But what does society seem to say to us? I mean, we have to deal with that because we live and we watch TV and we listen. And even if you don't, you see the billboard out on the highway or something else. Or you pick up a magazine or you're standing in a checkout line. And I know that nobody here looks at those, whatever the tabloids are. But while you are there, not looking at those, right beside them you notice that there's a Woman's Day or a health magazine that tells you what to eat here and how to lose this weight there and how to avoid wrinkles. But what does society says about aging? You know, wash away that gray with Just for Men. But some of us would take a whole lot more than a little bit to wash it away. But there are commercials for women too. L'Oreal, Andy McDowell? Is that who that is that grew up in Gaffney or whatever? Crow's feet, age lines, and here's where the typo is. Instead of get this anti-wrinkle cream or Botox or just a little nip and a tuck, all those kinds of things, and then you end up like Joan Rivers. Enough said. Enough said. Well, that's true. And of course, by the way, that reminds me, a few months ago, Ed, I did see, instead of Botox, which does that, what they're doing is they're taking fat cells and injecting them where those lines were. Okay, you pay them $2,000-$3,000 for one fat cell treatment, or you just eat more and... Go to McDonald's and spend $100 in a week, and you fill out. Yeah, that's. Well, that is true. That is true. But you know, we live with that in all kinds of advertisements, and you know, the skinny jeans. Well, they're not made to make you skinny. You just got to be skinny to put them on. Yep, there are some. And you get behind them in the mall and you say, oh, no. What's even worse is when they think that spandex workout suit's helping them. But we do all these things to avoid looking old. Right? A little personal thing. My bride keeps telling me, not all the time now, but every so often she does, that I need to put some color in my hair. Because when I get under the light and do this, it'll blind you. And my answer to her is no. Somebody worked awful hard to put them there, and I endured a lot to get them there. I'm not going to cover them up. Actually, I wish, instead of going salt and pepper, if I'm going to go, I wish I'd go like my grandmother Hearn and my father. Theirs went pure white. Until after my father's first round of chemo, he lost his hair. And when it came back, dark brown, his original color, for about 6 months. And then it went white again. I know. And if I grew my beard out, I'd have more white than yours. But you're catching up. But, you know, society... And there are many people out there that let society, and it's not just older folks, and it's not just younger folks. There are older folks that, you know, society drives their sense of age. drives their sense of age. Although I am going to say that I'm not so sure, and I didn't see much of the awards, any of these award shows, but I walked through the other night when Diane Keaton was on stage, and she's decided to go gray. I think maybe she needs to color her hair again, but just doesn't look like Diane Keaton. But, you know, we do these kinds of things. Why? Because society drives it. Because somebody else looking at us drives it. Oh, it is. Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, we do that.
And you want to try your best. There's no doubt about that. You owe it to yourself to keep your body as a temple of God. And I think
Well, I recently heard about there's a new diet out there that is the Neolithic diet or something like that, where you eat like the Neanderthals did. And yeah. Well, but this particular diet, Joey, is not so much you eat some meat, but you eat mostly unprocessed vegetables and nuts and fruits and go graze in the front yard. Mostly meat's an Atkins diet, but go graze in the front yard kind of thing. And that, Ed, I'll admit with the vitamins and all, and some of it's a doctor and some of it's not, but I take a multivitamin, which has even got lutein in it because that's supposed to help my eyes, but I'm starting to wear these more. Which I think is a conspiracy, because I wasn't using them, and then I started using them for things, and now the more I use them, the more I need to use them. So that's a conspiracy. But doctor prescribed fish oil, the Walmart brand. It doesn't make you burp like the other stuff. But he prescribed three. I take two. Baby aspirin. Glucosamine chondroitin. Hope it helps the joints, but if I leave it off for a week, I can tell the difference. Garlic pearls. No wonder I don't hang around you all that much.
I call that Russian penicillin.
Right. Well, and I'll tell you something else. I've told some of y'all this before, but I knew a guy, Tom Sexton. He was a truck driver, and then the group that I sang with, he drove a bus. And Tom said he had not had a cold in 15 years. And he credited that with every day at lunch he had a cheeseburger with lettuce, tomato, and a slice of onion about that thick. And I looked at him and said, I can tell you why you hadn't had a cold in 15 years. Because nobody's going to get close to you if you eat a slice of onion that thick. I said, even the cold germs are going to run away. But we do that. But what about the workplace? Even the workplace affects aging. The majority of job ads cater to people 40 and under, even today. In fact, there are a lot of employment agencies that if you are 45 or above, even though you may have qualifications, your stuff goes on the bottom of the stack of the younger ones. Not all, but there are a lot of them that do that.
Right.
Well, you may be, but then again, there are positions out there where age is with age and experience is worth more than. The not. As a cook. No. I know better than that. Well, I mean, that's Golda Meir became prime minister of Israel at age 71. Socrates was 80 years old when he decided to start studying music. Grandma Moses didn't start painting until she was 70 and was still painting when she was 100. Goethe wrote Faust when he was 80 years old. John Wesley was 88 when he finally stopped preaching. Reagan was elected president in his 70s. Sophocles wrote Oedipus Rex, 75 years old. John the 23rd was elected pope at age 77 and helped to revolutionize the Roman Catholic Church of his day. And Ben Franklin was a young age of 69 when he helped draft the Declaration of Independence. So there is something to be said about those kinds of things and working like that and working longer. Sometimes family attitudes influence our sense of aging. And they run the gamut from, well, let's put them away somewhere and let somebody else take care of them, to continuing to be active and present with older family and all points in between. So when we think about society and when we think about aging and when we think about getting older, not only ourselves but others around us, there are all kinds of factors that play into it that can help us, either help us to have a sense of hope and worth as we age, or can really dash those hopes and dash them rather handily and rather quickly. There are also a lot of myths that go around with that. You ever heard any of these? Well, most older people are senile. A study by the National Institute of Aging, by the way, they did brain scans of a large number of men, ages 20 to 83. Yes, they found their brains. I was reading something the other day about a guy was talking about reading some strange facts, and there was a workman was riding down the road and fell asleep and ran off the road and hit a ditch and fell over where his toolbox was, but he got back up and started driving along, and it wasn't until he looked in a rearview mirror to see if anybody had seen him or if there was a police, that he noticed that there was a large screwdriver that had entered here and was poking out here. So he drove himself to the hospital and said the doctors removed the screwdriver. This is a true story, removed the screwdriver and reported that miraculously it had completely missed his brain. Wonder how large that brain was or how small it was, right? But yes, a study was done in brain scans of a large number of men ages 20 to 83, and the report from the National Institute of Aging said the healthy aging brain was as active and efficient as the healthy young brain. The healthy aging brain was as active and efficient, and that's key as well. Healthy, but also active, keeping our brains active. I don't think I'll ever be able to do Sudoku, but I can do other things, right? Most older people are senile? No, not true. And really, there are physical things that happen to us, blood flow and other kinds of things that can cause that. But that's a myth. But unfortunately, there are a lot of folks. And the sad thing is, when we, as we age, begin believing that and begin believing it about ourselves, then it becomes a what? A truth, a self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, you know, that's kind of like I said, you know, which if you really want to have fun at work in a large office, switch to decaf and the regular coffee, but leave the pots the same and then watch. But another myth, most older people lack or lose their mental capabilities and skills and have poor comprehensive judgments. Minister and sociologist Revel Ruel Howe was at a conference a number of years back. And he was in the conference room with a lot of folks. In fact, he was the oldest person in the room. And it was a young man in his mid-30s who was sitting near him and said, "What in the world are you doing here?" And Howe said, "What do you mean? Why shouldn't I be here?" And the young man said, "Well, because you're so much older than the rest of us, you're out of place." Howe said, "Well, I'm here because I want to grow and keep all my creative juices flowing." And so the young man looked at him incredulously and said, "Well, how in the world can you do that when you're so old?" Once again, the thought of that person was, but then again, when I was growing up, you know, I thought before I got closer, I thought anybody in their mid-30s was old. And now that I'm 62, old is way out there. I know. So, you know, it's that kind of things. Studies also have shown that the brain of an 80-year-old has the same capacity to learn as that of a 12-year-old if the person remains active. We can continue to use our brains and to learn. So it's not true that we always lose our ability of memory. Dr. William Cole, sociologist at the University of Tennessee, in a study wrote, and I quote, "While younger men and women may excel in motor activities, older men and women excel in tests on information, comprehension, and verbal skills. They also have the ability to profit from experience and have more natural judgment and wisdom than the younger." Now, that's not always the case. But overall, if we remain active, we don't have to lose our comprehensive judgment and our memories. Frank Hutchison, in the book Aging Comes of Age, writes, "Research gives proof that even people of advanced age who keep involved in life and maintain good health need not suffer a decline in creativity and intellectual capacity. Those who feel they can do well in old age, as well in old age as they have at other times of their lives, don't become ineffective before their time." And the real danger is that we might become ineffective if we start to believe that as we get older. There was a church member a number of years back whose family had a birthday party for them here when they turned 60. Won't tell you who, and we've had a bunch of birthday parties here. And I was here, and I came over to it, and I spoke to the person and said, "Happy birthday. You know, this is great. You know, 60, that's one of those birthdays, but it's a milestone." And the person said, "Yep, they keep telling me I'm old, so I guess I am." And that particular person was dead in less than 3 years. And every time I saw them, they talked about how, and they started acting older, and started acting older, and started talking about it. They convinced themselves that they were old. And it became a self-fulfilling prophecy. And so we have to, if we're going to have hope and continue as we age, and we're all aging, then one of the things we need to do is to realize that we don't have to be ineffective and do things that we can to help keep our brains alive and keep moving and all that kind of stuff. I know sometimes it hurts. Trust me. But one of the worst things you can do with arthritis is sit around and not exercise. Then you will get stove up. So it's physical as well as mental activity. In Oriental societies, as we've said before, they honor the elderly and seek their wisdom. But according to a White House Conference on Aging study, and this information is about 5 or 6 years old, it said that one of the things that older persons are fearful of and may experience if they don't stay active is a loss of prestige, a sense of a loss of authority. Loss of family and friends to death can create a depressive outlook. Loss of time to do what we have failed to do or undo, and a loss of a role in society because we're forced to retire. By the way, that university that to which some of you went and graduated, known as Furman University, I picked up a newspaper up there yesterday, and they're going to start not filling faculty positions. They've been cut back on the faculty number and not filling certain faculty positions when people retire. They've also decided to force retirement upon a number of staff and a few faculty because of age as well. So, interestingly enough, they're not planning on filling either of the two religion retirees this spring up there. And, you know, that can do all kinds of things. They have offered a number of folks, they basically told a number of folks in recent months that have reached a certain age that they will pay them, they will give them money to pay their health insurance until they reach 65, up to 2 years until they reach 65, and they will give them 2 months' pay if they will go ahead and retire early. And if they don't get enough to do that, then they will start down a checklist and pick who's going to retire. Forced retirements can create a sense of loss of identity and loss of role in society. And as we do get older, and especially, Ed, you mentioned the younger ones they bring in as a novice, the multitaskers. I know for some of us, multitasking is sitting in a deer stand and watching every direction at the same time, right? No. But and there are a lot who can multitask. But there was a study done of students in 2009, college students, that showed that while they could multitask on some things, the comprehension level just went downhill when they were trying to do two and three things at once. Cell phone, computer, iPod, all that kind of stuff. And the interconnections just didn't work. And so when you need, especially for jobs that need someone that can truly comprehend and make a decision in a difficult situation or potentially difficult situation, the older worker would be the one who has done that and has experience would be the one. But a lot of times we don't find that these days. So how do we, are there other myths out there? Before we move on, are there other myths that you know of? Here at the bottom of page one. Other myths about aging that we haven't touched on that perhaps you've heard. Or maybe like William, you've thought about my hair. No. One of these days we might have to both get under a light and have a shining contest. Unless Jim McCoy's here, and then it might be close. It'd be close. Well, and we're not going to mention any names, but there might be at least another one before long that might be able to do that. Are there any other myths that you can think of? Things that you hear people say or that people think about aging that's really not necessarily the case? Well, yeah, sometimes your children do, and sometimes we do. Sometimes we do. In fact, down here on page 2, D, except that as we grow older, there are things we cannot do as well as when we were younger, which is a very hard thing to do sometimes. Is that water or snow ski? I've never been on snow skis, and it's been years since I've been on water. I'm not sure I want to right now. But, yeah. But you know, there's, do what? Yeah. But you're right. Sometimes they do think that we can still, they forget and think we can still do things. Or sometimes we forget and think we can still do things. Oh, yes, they are. They are. Well, they're particularly impressed that you can still do when they were this big and you could toss them up and catch them. That when they're this big, you can still toss them up and catch them. Climb up on the bed and say, "Move back, move back. Just a little more, a little more. Catch!" So, okay. So how do we deal with aging? Okay. Attitude's a lot of it. And this is another story related by Tuck, and he actually witnessed this one. Said a younger woman said to an older friend, "I wish I could grow old gracefully like you." And the older woman looked at her and said, "My dear, you don't grow old. When you cease to grow, you are old." Yeah. You ever known somebody that really, they had all the answers when they were 18, 20 years old and they never grew after that, even though they might be 40 or 50 years old? Yeah. The oldest person in the Bible was Methuselah, right? If you go and you look in there, Methuselah, 969 years. And the only accomplishment said about Methuselah is he was the son of Enoch and he had sons and daughters. Enoch walked with God and he was no more. Probably so. Well, I mean, and just think about it. Noah was 500 years old when he had Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Yes. He gave me both of them. I just said yes. No, you said, "Do you really think that, or do you think it's somebody doing thinking it through?" And I just said yes. So, you got the longevity. You're dealing with a lunar calendar rather than a solar calendar, and all kinds of things. But what about? I mean, how do we deal with attitude? Look at Caleb. Y'all remember Caleb? Joshua and Caleb. The only two spies of the 12 that said, "We can still take the land." And all the other 10 said, "No, we can't." And all the men of war voted with the 10. And God said, "Okay, till all these guys are dead, y'all won't go in." And Joshua and Caleb are the two that led them in. The only two of the spies that had said, "We can do it." Caleb is 85 years old in Joshua chapter 14. And starting in verse 6, "Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him an honest report, but my companions who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God.' And Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. And now, as you see, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years since that.'" So that's 85 years old. And what Joshua is getting ready to say is, "Okay, listen, I'm going to give this land to your kids." But Caleb says to him, "While Israel was journeying through the wilderness, and here I am, 85 years old, I am still as strong today as I was on the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, as the Lord said.' Then Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance." And that may be why every time Carrie Fisher tried to shoot them, the Blues Brothers survived because they were on a mission from God. But here, Caleb, 85 years old, he could sit back and retire and let it. And he said no. And in fact, he didn't just say no. Give me a nice level piece of ground with pasture. He said, give me the hill country where I got to climb up and down. Climb every mountain. Ford every stream. But, you know, attitude. His attitude was, don't put me off to the side. I can still do this. I'm still strong. I still have worth. And one of the ways that we can positively deal with age is to realistically, I better put that in there, realistically have an attitude that says, I can still do. I'm not old. I'm not ready to be put out to pasture. I can still do some things. And some things we can't. Some things we can do and maybe not as well, but we can still contribute and be a part. And so our attitude, we become old when we begin truly thinking we're old. And we stop growing. And it's after 2:45, so we'll stop there this evening and next time pick up here with learning what our age is inside and living our age inside, whether we're old or young, which feeds off of attitude. But how old are we inside?